It's estimated that between 275 and 385 tons of cocaine pass through Guatemala each year, and as a result, there's been widespread corruption and money laundering. But things really came to a head this past May when Conrado Reyes was appointed attorney general and then spent his 17 days in office trying to dismantle drug investigations and high-profile prosecutions. Joining me now to describe what happened is Tim Johnson, Mexico City Bureau Chief for McClatchy News Service. Very pleased to welcome him to today's underreported segment. Hi.
Hi, Leonard.
Has corruption always been a problem in Guatemala?
Well, yes, it has. Certainly for the last few decades. You're probably familiar that Guatemala's got a very troubled history over the last half century, beginning with U.S. involvement in a coup, and then later a very, very bloody civil war between 1960 and 1996 that left at least 200,000 people dead.
Now, the coup was the Arbenz situation?
Correct.
So how much of Guatemala's problems can be attributed to what we did? Did we set everything in motion?
Well, we played an important role, but I wouldn't want to forgive the Guatemalan elite for what's happened over the last few decades.
How much of the problem is connected to the drug trade?
A lot. The drug trade is an increasing problem, but it's also, you've got a country that has probably a 40% indigenous population and a business class. Much of the business class is very accustomed to paying very few taxes and doing what it wants.
And what are the major, other than coffee, what are the major products of Guatemala?
Well, tourism is a significant form of foreign currency there, as well as some manufactured goods.
But drugs seem to be a big issue. Two former interior ministers are fugitives, aren't they?
That's correct. And two former national police chiefs are in jail for drugs. The police force has been riddled with corruption.
Is most of the heroin and cocaine that goes through Guatemala on the way to Mexico and then destined for the United States?
Presumably so, but the drug trade is changing a bit, and some of the cocaine would certainly probably be going to Europe as well. If all that cocaine that was moving through Guatemala would come to the U.S., and that would completely satisfy U.S. Drug demands, and I'm sure that some of the cocaine is still coming from older routes going through the Caribbean.
Well, who are the main connections there, Mexican drug dealers or the Colombian traffickers?
No, it's not the Colombian traffickers anymore. The Mexicans have really taken over. There are several of the Mexican cartels who are very active in Guatemala. One that's mentioned quite a bit is the Los Zetas band. This is a paramilitary squad that used to be enforcers for what they call the Gulf Cartel in Mexico, but they've branched out on their own, and they've gotten really very powerful, not only in Central America, but further down into South America.
But it's not just... Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, the other cartel is the Sinaloa Cartel, which is arguably the most powerful drug syndicate in the hemisphere today. But they're lower key and a little more sophisticated.
Now, it's not just drugs. I don't know whether these other criminal activities are related, but also trafficked through Guatemala are babies, weapons, passports, timber, immigrants. A lot of illegal activity here.
It's all a web in Guatemala, and these criminal organizations, sometimes they cooperate, and sometimes they're just involved in completely different fields. It may sound to American listeners somewhat bizarre to talk about baby trafficking, but Guatemala is a source of a tremendous number of adopted children, and these, although they insist on DNA testing, it's not always fail-safe, and they don't always do it honestly. And there are law firms in Guatemala that are simply dedicated to making a lot of money off adoptions.
Now, these problems haven't gone unnoticed. In 2006, the UN set up a special commission to help Guatemala dismantle its organized crime networks. Has that commission been effective?
The commission has done an extraordinary job under very difficult conditions. This is not, you know, the UN has been involved in Guatemala for a long time. Following the signing of peace accords in 1996, the UN installed there and tried to oversee the implementing of the peace accords. But those accords have been thwarted in numerous ways, and some of the political reforms and economic reforms never came to pass. In fact, the majority of them never did. So when this new mission went in there in 2007, it had a very specific objective, and that was to fortify and break up criminal organizations in conjunction with state prosecutors in Guatemala.
I'm talking with Tim Johnson, Mexico Bureau Chief for McClatchy Newspapers, about Guatemala's criminal problems today's underreported segment. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. It all brings us now to Conrado Reyes. Who is he, and how did he get into a position to be appointed as Attorney General?
Well, it's an amazing story, because given Guatemala's political problems and the levels of corruption, a few years ago they decided that the Congress accepted a reform, and that was, hey, we won't pick the new attorney generals ourselves. We'll let the deans of the law schools at the major universities in the country do the picking. Sounds good, right? Mm-hmm. You would think that the deans of law schools would pick an honorable person. But what's happened in Guatemala is that getting named to be a dean of a law school is now a very important job, and the criminal organizations have gone in and basically shaped who gets picked. So when the deans of the law schools actually, a commission of 12 people, I think it's 9 deans and 3 other people, gathered earlier this year in early May to pick the new attorney general. They had a list of 29 people. They came up with a short list of 6, and then they submitted the name of Conrado Reyes to the president. And so the president accepted this name. People didn't know much about him. But it turns out that he was fronting for criminal organizations.
Wasn't the fact that he invited a suspected drug trafficker to be present at his swearing-in something of an indication that there might be a problem?
Well, that was the first of many indications that just came one after another. The man that he invited to his swearing-in is a fellow who had had his visa revoked by the U.S. because of links to drug trafficking. But he'd also been implicated in the theft of $9 million out of an armored vehicle that showed up at the Guatemala City airport. And he'd also had links to some of these baby trafficking law firms.
Wow. Well, Reyes only wound up in office for 17 days. What did he do during that time?
Well, as I said, one thing after another. He takes this mobster with him, and together they just do a massive house sweeping of the what they call the public ministry. It's the federal prosecutor's branch of government in Guatemala. They get rid of more than a dozen of the senior experienced prosecutors who had been working with the UN in some of these very dire political assassination cases and major corruption cases, including the former president of Guatemala, Alfonso Portillo. So immediately these people are told to hit the street. They also take control of the bugging apparatus. The UN had gone in there and helped them set up an eavesdropping apparatus, a unit to listen to phone calls and gather information for criminal trials. So Conrado Reyes and this other man immediately take control of that to try to understand, you know, to try to be able to control all the drug trafficking investigations that are going on.
And that lasted 17 days?
How was he removed? Certainly during some of that process. His foreign ambassadors and the UN mission got wind of this. It didn't create just consternation. It created alarm. And so in a very dramatic move, the Spanish judge who headed the UN Commission Against Impunity in Guatemala called a press conference on June 7th and announced that he was resigning because he just couldn't. He couldn't stomach the idea of seeing all the work that he put into that place come undone under the control of this new attorney general. this resignation, ricocheted around the world, really, to all those foreign countries with an interest in Guatemala. And as a result, the Guatemalans were forced to act. The Constitutional Court there annulled the appointment of this attorney general on the 17th day, and he was sacked.
Although you get the sense that they did it only because they were seriously pressured into revoking his appointment.
Well, that's the only reason. Left to their own devices. If Guatemala had been left alone, if it didn't appear in the newspapers at all, yeah, there would be a corrupt attorney general now, and the narcos would have a free hand.
Is there a new attorney general in place now, and have most of Reyes's moves been reversed?
Most of the moves have been reversed. The people, the prosecutors that he sacked, are back in their place. Now, it's going to take a little while for the new U.N. commissioner to get in place and really get things rolling again. But things seem to be back on track now.
You're in Mexico, where President Calderon has tried to crack down on drug trafficking and seems to be fighting a losing battle. What is the situation in Guatemala with President Alvaro Colom?
I would describe it as quite different, just because Guatemala is in a more dire situation. Since the end of the Civil War in '96, the armed forces have shrunk in number, and as a result, there's a much greater part of the Guatemalan territory where the presence of the state is either minimal or just almost non-existent. The estimate that one hears from analysts now is that 7 of Guatemala's 22 states are basically no man's land, and this includes the huge Petén region in the north. It's covered with a lot of jungles with many clandestine airstrips.
And also wonderful Mayan ruins.
That's correct, Tikal.
Not long after the crisis created by Reyes, the Guatemalan Navy, working in conjunction with the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency, stopped a submarine that was packed with 5 metric tons of cocaine. That's a lot of cocaine.
Yep, but it's the kind of stuff that's moving through Guatemala every week.
5 metric tons. You can move that much every week? I didn't know you could make that much cocaine.
Oh yeah, it's if they're moving upwards of 300 tons through Guatemala every year, it's a lot of cocaine that's moving through there. Anyways, this submarine is just one of many that they've caught in recent years, and it's one of the new strategies. It's semi-submersible. That means it's largely underwater, but it has a little bit above the water lines, very difficult to detect. And, they're moving up the Pacific coast in these vessels.
Now, the drug cartel violence in Mexico has been escalating. There was just recently a car bombing. Are we seeing similar kinds of violence in Guatemala?
There are some similarities. Earlier in June, there were 4 heads, decapitated heads, were left around key points in downtown Guatemala City. And this is a tactic that's, of course, very common in Mexico. It's presumed that this was done by henchmen linked to this Zetas cartel. But we haven't seen anything like this car bomb up in Ciudad Juarez in Guatemala. You don't really need it. It's the state is not fighting the cartels with the kind of vigor that's going to trigger this kind of reaction.
We've been talking about Guatemala's drug problem on today's underreported segment with Tim Johnson, who is the Mexico bureau chief for McClatchy Newspapers. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.